Up next on Downtown, it is time for this week's Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan with us, watching Tommy DeVito and others. Who was that other guy? I didn't even know who that guy was Thursday.
Well, that was the one and only Drew Locke, passed away of multiple other teams. Every team he goes to, they're like, wow, you know, maybe he'll take the starting job. They got Tim Boyle left. Why not?
Right,
Dolphins,
right.
The castaway Tim Boyle. I feel good about this.
Well, right now it's just what them and the Raiders. You know, who can most effectively lose the remaining 4 or 5 games?
Well, unfortunately, as of this morning, no. I think it's Carolina, the Raiders, and then the Giants.
No.
I mean, we're going to get Shador, baby. What are we doing?
Oh God, does that mean you have to take Deion too?
No, I must say I don't think Deion's going anywhere. I mean, didn't he just get like the best quarterback in the country?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Who knows? Anyway, well, this isn't sports talk radio, folks. We're here to talk about vino. So it's December, and we are kind of trying to close up the rest of the wine world. Today we're going to talk about South Africa, and then hit sort of the rest of the Southern Hemisphere and wrap things up. So South Africa, I usually title this segment Old Rocks and Old Settlement. It's the other thing I kind of like to say about South Africa is it's it's like, although this is no longer true, I think, with the opening of Eastern Europe wine culture to the rest of the world, but it's definitely one of those new super old wine regions. That is to say that it's really only come online as an innovative, capitalistic sort of wine / agro-tourism area in the past 20 years, really, which is crazy because there have been plantings there since 1659. So let's talk a little bit about it. It was first, you know, part of the European, hence the people who like to bring grapes. If their journey around the Cape there and establishing Cape Town, 1487, excuse me, was when Bartolomeu Dias first landed there, and of course, basically there was a settlement there ever since. It was an important stopping point, and of course, you know, it actually, it kind of surprises me. If the, you know, 1487, it took them several hundred years to actually get like vineyards planted. I guess they were just bringing stuff. But it's kind of funny because South Africa is actually fantastic vineyard land and certainly some of the most beautiful in the world. Also, not only is it beautiful, but it is geologically the oldest terroir in the wine growing world. Of course, we all know that the weathering there has revealed diamonds, which is for better or worse, fossils. But it's also tremendous, the weathering that is, has created a tremendous wealth of different terroir, everything granite, sandstone, shale, and these are naturally straining to the wine to the vines, which is what you want, right? You want them to strain a little bit to become more vigorous. Tremendous biodiversity in addition to wines, of course, as well. The wine regions mainly, of course, located around the coast in what's called the Lowveld, which is less fertile and colder as opposed to the other places where you're going to be growing a lot of other things. Again, bear in mind, you want strain, you want cool, long ripening seasons. So that's vines are actually very good. This is not just true of South Africa, but just in general, they're good for places where other stuff just won't be well grown. So they provide another wonderful crop that, you know, can help diversify. The cool temperatures are provided by a current from Antarctica, which is called the Benguela Current. And that is responsible for these nice, long, cool growing seasons that are so ideal. where was I going? Oh, yeah. So I was talking about when the wines are brought. So Dutch and English brought the Vitis vinifera. And as I said, in 1659, this beautiful vineyard, which is right out on the tip of the Cape called Constantia Vineyard, that's when that was planted. So 1659. Now, anybody who's at least my age, if not older, knows that South Africa went through a period of international scorn and lots of restrictions on trade, etc., created because of the system of apartheid. We don't need to go into the politics of it, but basically it was a very small percentage of white people controlling a very large percentage of black people. And it was super restrictive, and this was relevant in the wine world as well as everything else. So in 1973, they started a wine of origin system, right? So like just like a lot of other places, so it was kind of like going along like normal. Okay, you're saying this plot of land is better in this plot of land. But then they created this government-backed co-op, and I try this every year, and I will do it again, and we'll see how we do. But it is the Coöperatieve Wijnbouwers Vereniging van Zuid-Afrika.
That was beautiful.
Which is, yeah, which is, killed it, which is much more gracefully pronounced KWV, and that is what we'll call it from here on out. But it was first created actually back in 1918, but it was created to stabilize the market. And every time, as we know, very often when governments come in to stabilize agricultural markets, it goes super well. And this is no different. And it became an extraordinary overarching bureaucracy that basically controlled not only the wine industry, but the spirits, etc., until about 1990-1991, when, of course, the National Party lost power and things really, 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 really started to change almost overnight. I mean, it took about a decade for things to kind of change, but that's not a lot of time, really. Now, the KWV still exists, but it exists as an independent corporation, and it oversees international wine and spirits production, but it's not the governing force that it used to be. And in addition, again, this probably goes without saying, but back when that was the thing, the overarching force, there were no black winemakers, there were no female winemakers, it was a white man's club. That is very different now, and this is what's very exciting. There's been a lot of new investment, young winemakers using the area's super old vines, a lot of focus on natural wines. In fact, the region of the Swartland requires it, as well as they require no more than 25% new oak. There's a limit on international grapes. It's a real push to identify what will be the calling card. So you see the grape Shiraz, you see the grape Chenin Blanc, you see some interesting other varietals, and some are great, some are not, but they're really trying to sort of figure it out again for the first time, as it were. And I think they're doing a great, great job. The wines are also fairly affordable, and a lot of them get really good press, so they're worth checking out for sure. So that's the deal on South Africa. Next week, we'll talk a little bit about Australia.
Ooh.
And New Zealand, and that should bring us close to the end of the year, and we'll see what happens from there on out, but in the meantime, stay tuned every Tuesday, and I'll keep informing you about the wonderful world of wine, and in the meantime, I hope whatever sports teams you love, they're doing you better than I'm being done by my boys.
There you go, Eric Meehan. Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle. Thank you, Eric. Have a good week. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Thank you, Rich. Bye-bye.